I'd like to begin this morning's lesson by just sending this message that you see up here on the screen to all of our young people. Young people, you sure are blessed. For a number of reasons, but here's one reason in particular. You have the best youth program available anywhere. Now, I don't know exactly what's coming into each of your minds. You may be thinking, well, I didn't know we had a youth program. Well, we don't have the kind of youth program that you typically hear of in the religious world today. The food, the fun, the games, the entertainment, we don't have anything like that, nor should we. But still, it can be said that you have the best youth program available anywhere. Obviously, we're talking about God's youth program, and let me just go ahead and make it clear here in the beginning that this program really is not intended to benefit just the young. It most certainly benefits the young, and we're going to talk about certain things and talk particularly how they benefit young people, but let's understand from the outset that this same program benefits really every age group within a local church. And so let's talk about some things that God's youth program features. First of all, it features gospel preaching. And the place of preaching, the importance of preaching, is brought out here in Titus chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested His Word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. This is just one passage that shows the exalted role that preaching has in God's plan. Look also in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, the promise is made there in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And of course, there's much more involved in that than just praying to the Lord, as some would have you believe. But notice the follow-up in the succeeding verses. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Again, preaching has an exalted role. I didn't say preachers have an exalted role. I said preaching has an exalted role in God's plan. Now, I know that if you go back to the time of the first century when the gospel first began to be preached, someone could make the argument, well, His Word had to be manifested through preaching at that time because the Word had not been completely revealed. And I understand that. You can learn a lot completely on your own from your own Bible study. You can be led to salvation by your own study, but I still believe, and I believe the Scriptures bear this out, that there are still some benefits to preaching the gospel, even beyond that of reading on your own. Okay, so it still has a very important place in God's scheme of things. Young people need to hear gospel preaching. It will benefit them greatly, not just young people, but obviously everyone. When you hear gospel preaching, you are hearing words by which you can be saved and saved eternally. That's exactly the way Cornelius saw it when he looked forward to meeting with Peter and hearing those words from him. Look in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 13. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved." And so again, when you hear gospel preaching done the way it ought to be done, you are hearing words by which you can be saved. You are also hearing the words of eternal life. Do you remember the exchange between Jesus and His apostles there in John chapter 6? Remember, many of His disciples had turned away from Jesus. It says that they walked with Him no more. Jesus turned to the 12 and He said, "Do you also want to go away?" And then Peter said to Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And so when you hear gospel preaching, you are hearing the words of eternal life. That's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for everyone. It's of great benefit. You remember the question asked in Psalms 119 and verse 9? How can a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is right there in that same verse. By taking heed according to your word. I know that you young people want to lead a clean and pure and holy life in the sight of God. Well, gospel preaching helps you to do that. You hear God's Word. And now you have the opportunity to heed it, to put it into practice. That's how you cleanse your way, according to the Scriptures. And so God's youth program, and really His program for all, one of the things that's featured in that is most certainly gospel preaching. And please understand that it's not outdated. It's just as relevant as it ever was. These words of eternal life, these words by which you can be saved, they haven't become irrelevant. They're just as powerful as they ever were. And again, you need to hear it, and you need to hear it often. God's youth program also includes Bible classes. This is yet another opportunity to learn God's Word, isn't it? We read about a church in the book of Acts, the church at Antioch, that was certainly blessed in that they had a good number of people within that congregation who served as teachers. What a blessing that is to have people who will do that, who are able to do that. In Acts 13 and verse 1, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." So he names some of the various teachers there. And then over in chapter 15, and verse 35, it says, "Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." And so evidently, well, it says pretty clearly here that there were many involved in teaching the Word of God there in that church at Antioch. And you have that same blessing here. There are a number of people here who have volunteered their time and their effort to teach you the Word of God. And the great thing, of course, about Bible classes is those can be adapted to each age level. The Word of God can be taught on your age level. I think we have seen the great benefits to some of that in the way our young people have responded to the gospel so favorably over the years. I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, the credit ought to come my way for my sermons. I think about all that teaching that they're receiving back in those classrooms. It's not a social hour, and it's not an art class. It's not a time to discuss more relevant issues. They're being taught the Bible. Bible passages, Bible principles are being instilled in their head at a young age. And what a great blessing that is. And you young people ought to be thankful for that. I know when Andrew Smith was preaching for us, I've forgotten now if it was the Thanksgiving lesson or over the holidays, sometime or another when he was with us and was preaching, he talked about that, how much he benefited from all of the different classes that he participated in here through the years. So what a wonderful thing that is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul reminds Timothy there of something that he should have been very thankful for. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." What a great blessing for Timothy that he had known the Scriptures from childhood, and the same can be said for you. You get to hear them from the earliest age. Now, I don't want to discount the role that parents play in all of this as well. Okay? But we're talking about provisions, especially within the local church here. And these Bible classes certainly ought to benefit you greatly. Staying there in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, in verse 15, and really this is an admonition for both teachers and students. Let's make sure that we heed this in all of this teaching that's being done. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth." We talked about this passage some a couple of weeks ago. So again, these Bible classes, that's part of God's program, and it's of great benefit to you. Here's something else that's featured in his program. Worship services designed not to entertain, but to glorify and edify. I'm sure that most, if not all of you, are aware that something that has become very popular today are the contemporary services offered in many churches. Well, we don't offer a contemporary service. You know what we offer? We offer an ancient one. It goes all the way back to the first century. It goes all the way back to the time when God first revealed His plan as to how we ought to worship Him in our assemblies. And we make no apologies for following that same plan. And again, it's not carnal in nature in the least bit. It is wholly spiritual in nature. Again, its design is not to entertain us. Its design is to glorify God, and as a result, all of us be edified from that. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." There's a lot that's going on in different religious groups today. First of all, the one problem would be that they're unauthorized. We can't read of them in the New Testament. But when you look at their edification value, it's really pretty nil, isn't it? Ever been to a mass or seen a mass conducted, maybe on one of these religious channels? Do you understand what's going on? I don't. When someone's speaking in Latin, and there's really maybe one or two or maybe none who are familiar with Latin, it's hard to get a whole lot of good out of that. And that's just one example. When a rock band is up there on stage and they're just rocking it out and they're screaming and hollering and really it's pretty hard to even decipher what's being said, think there's much edification value there. And let's be careful how we define edification, because a lot of people have given a very loose definition of it and have tried to incorporate a number of things under that umbrella of edification. And that's why I want us to read 1 Timothy chapter 1, which I think helps us to understand the meaning of edification or the type edification that we're talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Doesn't that kind of narrow our focus a little bit when it comes to our discussion of what's involved in edification? You're not edified just simply because you feel better. You're not edified just simply because you're all charged up now. There's more to edification, godly edification, which is in faith, than that. Again, let's make sure we don't define that too broadly. If you think about the design of worship, the things that God has either commanded us to do or shown us to do in the New Testament, in our worship services, in everything we do, your mind is directed to God, to His will, to what He has done for you, and to what you should do for Him in return. Now that's edifying. That's edifying. It really makes me angry to hear some of our brethren now who talk about our stale corporate worship services. If it's stale, then it's your fault. It's not God's fault. There is nothing stale about this plan. We're focusing on God. We're focusing on His will. We're focusing on what He has done for us. We're focusing on what we should do for Him in return. What's boring about that? What's stale about that? If it's stale, then we just haven't come far enough in our own spiritual growth to appreciate the value of these things. Here's something else featured in God's program, and that is godly or righteous examples. We know the Bible is filled with them, right? And you young people are going to, the more you hear gospel sermons, the more you go to Bible classes, the more you're going to hear and learn from these godly or righteous examples. But you also need some godly or righteous examples around you right now. Some contemporary, some living examples, don't you? And that's part of God's plan too. He instructs all of us to be an example to others so that they can draw strength from us and benefit from us. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul, writing particularly to Timothy here, says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers." And he doesn't just leave it general, like he goes on to specify different areas. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Look also in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." And so, young people, I would encourage you to look around at the godly or righteous examples within your own congregation and learn from these people. Benefit from their great example. Now, unfortunately, you may have to sometimes learn from some bad examples. There may be times when brethren don't act as they should, and while that's not a good thing, you can also learn from that. But we're really kind of focusing on good examples. That's one of the blessings of being part of a local church, and especially where people are committed to setting that kind of example. You get to benefit from them. And again, that's not just for young people. I've learned a lot of important lessons from my own brethren, from brothers and sisters in Christ, You've helped me in so many different ways. And I would encourage you to continue setting that good example for me. I need it. And you need it from me. We need to help each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 points us to the one that we should imitate in the example that we set. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." No better example than Him. And so if we can imitate Him, then we serve as a good example for others then to imitate. Something else included in God's program, Christians who look out for your soul. God has provided that for you within the local church arrangement, hasn't He? Of course, that begins with the elders. His plan is to have elders in every local church. Remember when Paul and Barnabas went back through those cities on that first missionary journey, Acts 14:23, and when they had appointed elders in every church. And what is their primary function? Well, look at Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." And then let's look back to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, look at what Paul says to these elders here. Acts 20 and verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Young people, there are a number of things that can pull you away from the Lord. As we talked about in some lessons back a couple of months ago, there are a lot of threats right there on the horizon. Things that would pull you away from the faith. Sometimes just plain old worldliness will do it. The thing is, you've got a group of elders here who are very aware of what can happen. And they're watching out for your souls. I think you've seen that demonstrated through the years. There's probably been a lot of meetings with people and discussions with people that the rest of you probably don't know about. And those meetings were held sometimes privately out of concern for souls. Again, there's a lot that goes on that you don't know about. But that's a provision that God has made for you, to have these men watching out for your souls. But you know, they're not the only ones. Others are looking out for you too. In fact, that's what we're commanded to do for one another. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." And so, there's a lot of folks looking out for you. And hopefully you're looking out for one another. In verse 20, Paul commenting on Timothy here says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Well, I just happen to think that you have a lot of people here who sincerely care for your state. Let me ask a question. Who is the youth minister here? Who is he? What's the biblical answer to that? The biblical answer to that is everyone. It really is. I don't read anything in the New Testament about a special youth minister. And if I can't read about it in the New Testament, we're not about to have a special youth minister. The youth minister is everyone. Minister just simply means servant. And all Christians are ministers or servants. We're all ministers or servants of one another. Of young people, old people, middle-aged people, everybody. The weak, the strong, we're all looking out for one another. So be a youth minister, but don't confine yourself to them. Look out for as many of your brethren as you possibly can. You know, it's a shame that so many churches today are cheating their young people. And that's not too strong of a word. A lot of churches today are cheating their young people. Because what our young people need more than anything else is the bread of life. That's what they need. But instead of giving them a steady diet of the bread of life, they're giving them a steady diet of food and fun and entertainment. They're more concerned with feeding their bellies than they are their souls. And that is cheating people. And that is a crying shame. Give young people, give anyone the bread of life. It will not only sustain them in this life, but it will also give them eternal life. And that's what matters more than anything else. In fact, to substantiate that, look with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's just read a couple of verses there. Look first of all in verse 35. John 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Well, that's powerful. And then also down in verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. And so our focus has always been and will continue to be on giving to you this bread of life. Go ahead and get out your songbooks and we'll sing the song of encouragement here in just a moment. Carrie referenced the several who have recently obeyed the gospel and the several who have recently returned to the Lord. And it has been a very joyous time here lately to see those things take place. There's no greater rejoicing than to see someone respond to the truth, come back to the truth, to continue walking in the truth. There's no greater joy than that. If you're one of those this morning that needs to make your life right with God, then you have the opportunity to do that. Again, maybe you're a Christian and have wandered away and need to make confession of wrong. We're certainly ready to assist you in doing that. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and are willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be buried with Him in baptism, we have everything ready to assist you in doing that this morning. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.